Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Taking your calls live. 406-294-0970. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Aaron Flint here, broadcasting live from Great Falls, Montana, here for the Mackers Convention, the Montana Association of County Road Supervisors. But it's not just the road supervisors that are in the house. Those guys are great. It's a lot of their crews, a lot of their foremen, their county commissioners that back them up here to build and maintain these roads all across the state. And then all these incredible construction companies and the heavy equipment companies that support the work that's done out there on the Montana roadways. All in the house as well. But yeah, great to be here in Great Falls. We've got Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter here to welcome us to town like usual. It's always good to have a law enforcement welcome. Maybe not for some people, but we always appreciate a law enforcement.
Well, you know, when you come into town, we meet you at the county line with a escort.
Yeah. After the pat down and
No. Full presidential escort. We got helicopters and Aaron Flint comes to town.
Tonka cigar gift baskets.
There you go. Absolutely.
The proper entrance to town.
It's the red carpet. Yeah. We roll it out.
It's fun. Yeah. This is such a great group of folks here. These are people that get the job done.
Oh, right.
They know how to fix things. They know how to build things. And then when you got equipment problems or whatever, you figure it the F out, you know?
Absolutely. And, you know, everyone takes for granted, roads, bridges, transportation in their communities. And, you know, we've had a bridge just go out recently here in our county. And holy cow. I mean, you want to talk about just totally wreck people's day.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, they do a great job.
If I get stuck at a stoplight for too long. And then you got a bridge, and now you got to go 45 minutes out of your way to do your normal day-to-day stuff.
We have a lot of first world problems.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We do.
But in Knoxon, like when they had their bridge go out because of the fire, I think like last summer or something, it was a major detour for folks up there.
Absolutely. And you've got people who, you know, maybe have medical conditions or, you know, need any emergent service. And then all of a sudden it's delayed or it just can't get there, you know, because when we start talking about detouring people, sometimes the GVWs on the vehicles coming to rescue people and stuff won't get there now. And so, it's critical infrastructure.
You know, we joke about first world problems, but yet look at the way our taxpayer dollars were being wasted in the third world to create first world problems in the third world, you know, giving money to chop off body parts off of kids and, you know, third world countries. It was just crazy. But no money for your bridge from the federal government, right?
So. Well, 150%. And one of the things I want to talk about today is our school safety program, because I've been proposing to a couple of our senators and congressmen a bill to make school safety in every single school in the country. And it's like pennies on the dollar compared to what they're spending for this. And they won't protect their own children and their own communities, but they'll go waste this money on this crazy stuff for other countries, which doesn't even make, I don't even believe that's what they do with the money. I believe that's a slush fund excuse.
Well, you heard what the Secretary of Education said last weekend, 47 cents on every dollar for the Federal Department of Education simply goes to regulatory compliance.
Yeah.
So I folded a dollar in half yesterday when I was talking with these guys. I said, that's how much is basically going up in smoke with the federal government right now. Sheriff Jesse Slaughter, hold that thought. We're going to talk more with him in just a few minutes. But first up, right after this break, Senator Steve Daines is back from his trade mission to China. We're going to hear about that and more.
It's March 26th, and this is your Fox Daily Snapshot. It's Epilepsy Awareness Day. This neurological condition affects nearly 50 million people worldwide, impacting the central nervous system, causing seizures and other symptoms. Epilepsy can affect anyone at any age and can be caused by brain injuries, genetics, immune disorders, infection, and in some cases, no cause can be found at all. However, epilepsy is a very treatable condition, and a range of options are available, from the use of medications to more invasive surgical procedures. So remember, wear something purple to help bring awareness to and eliminate the stigma surrounding epilepsy. Also on this date in 1953, Dr. Jonas Salk announced he had successfully tested a vaccine to prevent polio. Clinical trials in the life-saving drug would begin the following year. And in 2020, COVID-related job loss caused a record 3.3 million Americans to file for unemployment benefits, according to the Labor Department. I'm Tushar Saxena, and that's your Fox Daily Snapshot.
If you tied the knot last year, you may find that you're paying more in taxes. I'm Jenny Cosola with your Fox Business Tax Tip coming up.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
When married, your filing status is determined based on your marital status for the last day of the year or December 31st. Typically, dual-income households pay more in taxes married due to the so-called marriage penalty. CPA Bill Bendy says the penalty is no longer relevant for most couples.
The marriage penalty used to be the high difference in between standard deductions if we were single or married. Currently, standard deduction for a single taxpayer is $14,600 and standard deduction for a married couple is $29,200. Exactly twice that amount.
Jenny Cosola, Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Senator Steve Deans here with us on Montana Talks. I'm live in Great Falls here this morning. And, Senator, I tell you what, you feel right at home here. We got a room full of construction workers, road crews at the Mackers Convention with the Montana Association of County Road Supervisors. So I know you feel right at home back here this morning.
Oh, my word. I wish I could join in my muck boots right now. Sounds perfect.
Well, you just got back from China. You met with President Trump at the Oval Office, and then you went off to China, met with top officials there to focus on the fentanyl that's been invading this country vis-a-vis the drug cartels. And you also, as I understand it, went there to tackle this massive trade deficit that President Trump inherited from Biden. How did the Chinese trip go?
Well, look, it was an honor to represent President Trump over there in China. I met President Trump in the Oval Office just before I went over, and he said, Steve, we've got to address this fentanyl issue with China, as well as the trade deficit, $300 billion. Stay focused on this fentanyl issue. What's happening right now, Aaron, as you know, your listeners know, is that the Chinese send the raw materials, they call them the precursors, from China to Mexico, and the cartels are producing that fentanyl coming across the southern border and poisoning America. 100,000 Americans are dying every year. It's a scourge on our country. No state is immune. We see it all over Montana, sadly. So it was a very pointed back and forth with the Chinese, but I think I got their attention, and there's going to be follow-up conversations here. They just got to step up and decide they're going to ban the flow of fentanyl precursors. Not slow it down, but stop it.
And then on the trade front, you know, I was up in Plentywood last week for the Farm Expo there, and crazy talking with the Montana grain growers about the fact that 2 years ago, our country for the first time ever became a net importer of farm products. And we've seen how America just slid behind in so many different categories in the last 4 years in particular. And so it's a deficit across the board that President Trump and Republicans in Congress are trying to tackle and turn around, which underscores how important all of his trade battles are right now. But back in his first term, I know, you helped open up the Chinese markets for beef. So we know that progress actually can be made.
Absolutely. It's all about leadership. It's sad to see what happened under President Biden. It's awful. We're just reversed a lot of the great work that had been done under President Trump's first term, particularly on behalf of farmers and ranchers. We went backwards under the Biden administration, and the president is turning us around. In fact, I had a long conversation last night with our new United States Trade Representative, Jameson Greer. We talked specifically about this issue. 95% of the world's consumers live outside the United States. Our Montana farmers and Montana ranchers depend on access to these markets. The idea that somehow we're now importing more than we're exporting for American farm and ranch production is absolutely an insult. And that is why we have an administration now that's going to fight on behalf of farmers and ranchers. I tell you, the Biden administration, I don't know if they view farmers and ranchers as their opposition. I don't get it, Aaron, but we got a lot of work to reverse the damages in many areas caused by the Biden administration, but exports is one of them.
Speaking of imports, of course, we continue to see now new headlines, but these are good headlines, of course, because this shows us that ICE is finally able to do their jobs, Border Patrol finally able to do their jobs. Obviously, we've had dozens of illegal aliens now being arrested across the state, Border Patrol, ICE, other operations. But we just saw now out of the Havre, Montana Border Patrol sector, a U.S. citizen arrested for aiding in the smuggling of three Trende Aragua gang members. And I know our friends up on the Fort Peck Reservation are very concerned with the violence and what we know has already been a massive cartel presence in that part of the state as well.
Well, I think a lot of Montanans were shocked when they started off in February when they arrested, ICE did, six PDA members there right in Bozeman. This is a Venezuelan gang who began in the prisons of Venezuela. They are into human trafficking, prostitution, drugs. This is a transnational criminal organization. And I was speaking to our law enforcement, in fact, in Gallatin County. They had these guys surveilled for quite some time back when Biden was president, but ICE wouldn't take action under the Biden administration. And then suddenly an election happens. President Trump's elected. Republicans take control of the U.S. Senate. And guess what? You've got ICE now who's leaning in to take these bad guys off the street. Thank God for that latest apprehension up in Havre, by the way. Just reminds us, folks, a lot on the southern border. We have to remember we have a porous northern border as well.
Yeah, that's right. And one of the things I know, switching tracks here, we've talked a lot about what DOGE is doing to, speaking of deficits, tackle this $2 trillion deficit that President Trump inherited from Joe Biden here as well. But that being said, the federal government is hiring for some key jobs, particularly air traffic controllers that were, those jobs that were just decimated by the woke DEI policies. I know you and Senator Sheehy are working on efforts to help our wildland firefighters in particular as well.
Well, absolutely. We got a really nice win. And by the way, Aaron, I got to tell you, it is so nice to have Tim Sheehy back in Washington. It's so nice to go down to the floor and we vote where Tim and I are voting the same way. For many years, John Tester and I, again, we got along as two Montana guys, but we virtually canceled each other's vote every time we went down to the floor of the U.S. Senate of any vote of consequence. So nice to have Tim Sheehy now to vote with me, voting together and supporting President Trump. But one of the wins we've had here is on wildland firefighter pay. Of course, Tim Sheehy has an extensive background in fighting wildfires. We've got a bill that was signed into law that got an increase for pay, but importantly, thanks to the help of President Trump and Secretary of Interior Burgum, we finally got this pay increase made permanent. That's a really nice win for our firefighters. It's hard enough right now in Montana with the cost of living to make ends meet. Nice to have permanency now because that was not the case until President Trump stepped up along with Secretary Burgum.
Well, Senator Steve Daines, I know you've got to run off to it's Wednesday, so it's Montana coffee time, and I've got to go get a cup of coffee here as well with all of our friends from the county commissioners and more here.
We've got a large slug of Montana
Economic Minute.
If we could somehow put climate crusades and all politics on pause, the problem of how best to generate electricity could be appreciated as an endlessly fascinating one. Solar power is really quite amazing in many ways. It's simple and it's cheap. It's grown faster from its birth than any other energy source ever. More than 50% of all its new generation projects that apply to be connected to the national grid involve solar power. It's also pretty tiny, at least so far. With no fuel costs, no moving parts, its operating costs are very low. And with continued steep reductions in costs for solar cells, building costs are heading down as well. Its fatal flaw, of course, is not available on demand. Production of electricity from the sun, even on cloudless days, doesn't line up well with when power is needed, especially in the winter. But it's becoming so fantastically cheap, could we not, say, drastically overbuild what we need and still come out ahead on costs? That won't work at night. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
Saving you money, I'm Hillary Barsky. If you're looking to buy a car, most times you're in the market for a loan. And where you snap one up can make a big difference in what you'll be paying over time. Before you start car shopping, it's best to get pre-approved for a loan. Now, it's not the best idea to get financing through a dealership. Although it can be convenient, you'll wind up paying more for the vehicle over time. Loan rate experts say check with a credit union first. Most times they offer lower interest rates than banks and dealerships. Or try an online lender like by car gurus, which offer pre-approval tools that let you see your auto financing rates. Also, many major banks offer auto loans, but often their rates are higher than credit unions or online lenders. But if you do have a good relationship with your bank, it's worth checking out their rates, especially if they offer discounts for existing customers. And if you do need financing, try to get a 36 or 42-month loan. You'll pay it off faster and save a lot of money on interest. Saving you money, Hillary Barsky, Fox News.
Spring.
Big topics. Big ideas. Big Sky. Montana Talks.
Hey, great to have Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter with us here at the Mackers Convention in Great Falls at the Heritage Inn. Sheriff, you know, we were talking earlier as we opened up the 8 o'clock hour here, but, you know, you want to talk about school safety. I was looking at the Federal Department of Education, Trump's education secretary. She tweeted out, or I think she was on Fox News last weekend, 47 cents of every dollar that goes to the Federal Department of Education basically gets consumed by regulatory compliance. So I folded that dollar in half yesterday as I was talking with the road crews and folks here yesterday afternoon. And I was like, man, what could we do with, okay, so let's say I grokked it. So, you know, somebody double check the numbers, but let's assume grok was correct and Montana gets $200 million from the Federal Department of Education. And then let's assume that 47% of that, so over $90 million is wasted on regulatory compliance. What could we do with that just for school safety alone, for example, instead of wasting it on federal bureaucracy in Washington, D.C.?
Well, I think that's all of federal government. You know, that's what I see over and over again when I see federal government. You know, what did Ronald Reagan say? You know, the nine most feared words in government is we're the government and we're here to help. You know, and I really every day in law enforcement, in any type of government, you see that type of waste and abuse of people's money. And it all comes down to the one thing is control. All right. We talk about it. We live in a so-called free society, but every law, every rule, every ARM ever created is to control. And we are losing our freedom every day because of this control. Now, I'm not saying I'm for law and order. I'm not for chaos. I'm not for anarchy. But when we talk about school safety, for example, Rick Scott, Senator Rick Scott from Florida, was 2023, ran a bill to take those 87,000 IRS agents and turn them into school safety officers. And the bill didn't, you know, the bill didn't go anywhere. I have a new idea. I have a way more innovative idea, and I hope you help me because I need your voice to help me because I've reached out to our senators. I've reached out to our congressmen. I'm not hearing any movement yet, and I'm not going to quit till I get movement. I guess a simple plan. Here's what we need to do. We can protect every school in the country by this simple move. We take retired law enforcement and military. And we say, hey, you go work for a sheriff or a chief of police in America, guarding and protecting a school. If you take on that job as usually like a reserve or auxiliary officer, reserve deputy auxiliary officer, we're gonna make you exempt from paying federal income tax on your retirement. That's a 40% increase in their retirement. Federal income taxes are absurd. Everybody knows that. And people who've retired really know that. And so we've got these patriots. We've got these, you know, warriors. We've got all these guardians who've been out there doing the job. They're experienced. They know what to do. They know how to defend children. They're patriots. They know how to stand up for it. And we're just going to take care of them. It's pennies on the dollar of lost revenue. It's not a huge expense. And we could secure every school in our entire country.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, well, and even if we just took, like, let's say we take that, I like the tax idea because, look, the state has already now moved forward with doing what many other states have already done, which is exempting military pensions from state income taxes. They got the first 50% across the finish line in the last session, but they eventually want to just do away with it altogether, just like so many other states have already done. But your idea with, hey, let's exempt federal taxes on those pensions. You know, but here's the mission. Here's the mission at hand to continue that mission.
And it only while you're doing that mission. So, like, for every year that you sign up, all those years are covered. But, like, if you then stop doing it, then obviously you have to go back in and pay your taxes. But, you know, here's the other thing. And here's why I'm so passionate about this. retired law enforcement officers, retired military personnel, they lose their sense of purpose. They go home. They're not understood in the world anymore. They need a mission. They need something to defend. And all the things that law enforcement and military go through, protecting children is the most sacred thing you can do. Now, they're going to have to be post-certified. They're going to have to be trained. They're going to have to, you know, and our training at the Cascade County Sheriff's Office is rigorous. I mean, it's no joke for school safety. And they're going to have to go through all that, be competent, complete all that background checks, psychological tests, all that stuff. But this is a way that every school in America could be funded. And once we get this across the finish line, I'm then going to go lobby the state government to say, no, it's now mandatory in every school in Montana that there is an armed, trained person in every school. And then the hardest part will be this. Nothing will ever happen. So then we'll continue to have to justify the money.
Yeah.
Because you get the naysayers going, well, it's never happened before.
Yeah, they never want to do anything until after it already blew up in their face, basically.
Yeah.
And then what do they typically want to do? They don't want to actually solve the problem. They just want to, you know, use the crisis as an excuse to take away our rights and our freedoms. And you've already been implementing your security plan here at the local level.
Yeah.
We talked the last time about how you're already getting, you know, armed security in the schools. You may not even know who these people are, but they're there and they're in instant communication if need be with area law enforcement to do a rapid response. And you're integrating in school camera systems. So if they think they have a threat, if they think they have a suspicious individual, there's a way to instantly communicate and just prevent this stuff from happening in the first place.
Well, it's my mission in life to become the model for America on school safety. And we're going to do it, and we're going to crush it, and we're going to protect. We're going to start protecting children better than we protect our money. And just saying that out loud, and the thought of the disgusting greed that we have in our country, where we'll drive armored vehicles and have guys with plate carriers and AR-15s guard our money, but we won't do that with our children. And it's cowardness. And the other thing I don't like about it, there's certain people out there who use it as political virtue signaling.
Yeah.
And they jump on these children dying to spout gun control. And I'm sorry, but the death of children is not your platform to bring in your communist agenda to America. It is totally disgusting and inappropriate. And the fact, you know, and I'm going to steal one of Senator Sheehy's, because he's the guy I'm trying to hope to get this bill. I'm going to steal one of his quotes, is that what's killing America is apathy. And conservatives and pro-gun, pro-school safety people are just as guilty as this, as the other side, because they're not stepping up to come up with really hard solutions and spend money to protect our kids. So they're opening the door for this political virtue signaling and this, you know, horrible things that people do to capitalize on death of, you know, deaths of our kids in our schools.
Yeah, I was trying to look up while you were talking. It reminded me John Lott Jr., who's, you know, written books and a great speaker when it comes to gun rights. He had a piece in the Federalist here lately. Because if anything, what we need to do is we need to expand the gun rights, you know, or further stand up for what we should already have when it comes to gun rights under the Second Amendment. And he was looking at, you know, the latest data that's out there from a safety perspective and basically saying that what the data shows right now, this is exactly why we need national right to carry. Great that we have constitutional carry here in Montana, but really we need that national right all across the country. It should already be spelled out in the Second Amendment, but look at the way they try to whittle that away.
I love the idea. My only problem is I don't trust the federal government to be able to responsibly legislate that in a way that takes care of our freedoms responsibly. I that's my only issue with that. Other than that, I think it's great, but the point I'm trying to get at here is this. The mechanisms in which people politically virtue signal to take away our rights are so solvable. And school safety is one of the easiest ones. And if we go solve that issue, the argument, the gun control argument starts to slip through your fingers really fast. They just go away. But the conservatives have to step up and they have to spend money. They have to come up with real solutions to protect our schools. Because here's the other thing I'm going to tell you. Right now, with the mass deportation, with, you know, ICE and all the great things they're doing to protect our country, the cartels and the terrorists are going to strike back. They're not going to lay down quietly and allow this, you know, the Chinese.
I think they're tucking their heads under right now. They're trying to be a little bit quieter, go back under the radar. They're getting disrupted by ICE, Border Patrol, et cetera, right?
Yeah. I disagree.
But they're gonna claw their way back.
I disagree respectfully.
Okay.
I think they watched this election happen, and I think they had two plans. They had a plan if Biden got elected or Kamala, whatever, and they had a plan if Trump got elected.
Of course.
And they play the long game. We in America don't. We are lazy. We're short-term thinkers. We don't think the long game. You got to remember, we're fighting.
And reactionary. That's why everybody's like, we got to get everything done now in the first 2 years in case, you know, the reactionary midterm elections end up coming back around. Although I think we could see. Anyway, that's another subject altogether.
No,
but back to your point, though.
You're correct.
I think they're not going to go down. They're not just going to go down quietly. Even if they try to be quiet about it right now, they're not going to. They are going to do everything they can to outposition, outmaneuver, and stay, you know, in their field.
Well, what we fail to recognize is a couple of things. 9/11 attackers came into America legally. Okay. They play a long game way better than we do. They play an infinite game. We don't. They will wait until the perfect time it is to strike. They'll probably wait till we think till we declare victory or something. And then they will demoralize us. And the reason school safety is so important, if we protect our schools, our economy will stay strong through any attack. We will not lose faith in our country and in our patriotism. Look at Hamas when they attacked Israel. They didn't attack the schools. Why? Because there's armed guards with machine guns on top of every school, and they'll cut you into pieces if you try to touch their kids.
Yeah, I remember being on the beach in Tel Aviv, and there was the teacher with, you know, an AR strapped to her back while she was taking the kids on a little field trip for the day.
And so they understand that. And they understand for them to survive as a nation, for them to survive as a culture, they have to protect their future. We are not protecting our future. We have to step up to the plate. We got to get this done.
We got to take a quick break here on Montana Talks, and then I've got a great guest joining us from back in our Montana Talks studios for a few minutes right after this. And then Sheriff Slaughter is going to stick around because, man, we always have, as you can tell, a million different topics we can cover with Sheriff Slaughter. But I think you shared this information a few days ago, and I ran into Cascade County Commissioner Joe Briggs last night, too, and he was talking about some innovative things you've been doing with the jail here in the detention center to prevent suicide of inmates. So I want to get to that topic at some point here this morning as well. So stand by. We'll take a quick break here on Montana Talks. We got another guest back in our Montana Talks studios right after this. And actually, I'm hoping Sheriff Slaughter jumps in on this conversation as well, because he's a fit to fight sheriff. So we're going to be talking nutrition and much more.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Hey, Aaron Flint here with Montana Talks. Yeah, I'm broadcasting live. I'm actually set up on the stage at the Mackers Convention here in Great Falls at the Heritage Inn. And, what a great setup here. The prayer breakfast just wrapped up. They got a packed house here. This is where they just had, by the way, the big CMR, the Charlie Russell Museum auction. They had a huge auction here this past weekend in this very room. In fact, we've got Chris Warden from the CMR Museum is going to pop in and join us and talk about that later on in the 9 o'clock hour of the show. Sheriff Jesse Slaughter will be back with us here in just a few minutes as well. And then we've got the county commissioners and more from across the state that'll be with us coming up here in the 9 o'clock hour. Back in studio, we've got Dr. Jordan with Billings Last Diet. Dr. Jordan, how you been? Thanks for popping into the studios. You should have traveled with us here to Great Falls.
You know, Great Falls is beautiful, but I'm up here in your studio looking at a fantastic view early this morning. Spring is here, and I'm loving it.
Oh, the drive was incredible. Although kind of funny, last week I was in Plentywood and I was driving, you know, Glendive up through Sydney. There were pheasants everywhere, the biggest, fattest pheasants I've ever seen. And it was incredible. Well, yesterday there was a pheasant and boom, popped right in front of me and I couldn't swerve, you know. But what's funny is I was driving the Cat Country car from the Cat Country radio station in Billings. I was driving the Cat car, and the cat got a bird. Let's just say that. And then it was still stuck in the fender. So I'm like, I pull up to the Heritage Inn and everybody's out front admiring this this beautiful pheasant still stuck. They thought it was a hood ornament. It was pretty funny. But I don't know what those birds are eating, but, man, those were some of the fattest pheasants I've seen in a while.
Well, that sounds like a good lean protein to me. I don't know about you.
A pheasant is a good lean protein. Yeah, that's right. That's right. That's some of my favorite hunting too, is going pheasant hunting, because you know you're quick, you're moving, you're out walking. It's boom, 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 and you don't have to drag something out and break your back in the process. But well, let's talk about Billings last night. Speaking of breaking your back in the process, man. You know, that remote option, you know, right now we're talking to our listeners here in Great Falls, Kalispell, you know, of course, all across the state, Billings, Bozeman, Butte, Livingston, you name it, people listening in on the app. You guys are getting a ton of remote dieters now. You're almost like your own Amazon shipping warehouse now, because so many people are now taking advantage of that remote option.
Well, it's been fantastic. I'm telling you, you know, Tim from Savage has just been a huge, poster child of what that remote dieting can do, and he's been fantastic. We really have that remote option has exploded over the last couple months, and they're just as successful as our in-house dieters, which is fantastic to see. We were a little leery when we rolled that out to see, you know, if there'd be any change, if you know the phone call in for accountability was going to make any difference, and people have been fantastic, and it's springtime now, so people are wanting to keep that weight off, and coats are starting to come off, and they're realizing maybe I didn't quite hit my goals as the New Year's goal. So, you know, we're seeing more and more people come out and say, hey, I couldn't do it on my own from January till now, and it's time to get serious. And so we're glad we have that option for those people.
You know, I know Sheriff Jesse Slaughter would agree with me when he comes back here as well, you know, because he's gotten in good shape. And here's the thing, you know, you could be a law enforcement professional like the sheriff. You could be, you know, a military veteran like myself, and you work out hard, you hit the gym, and you're stepping it up at the gym. And you should be working out's great, right? I'm not downplaying the significance of exercise, whether it's just a simple walk or something, right? But you can do that. You can work out as hard as you want, and you're going to get frustrated because you're not going to be losing the weight. You're going to be like, man, what the heck am I doing? And that's exactly the position I was in before I linked up with you guys at Billings Last Diet. And so it's just a game changer.
Well, it's tough to outrun your fork when it comes down to, especially as we get older and our hormones start to change, the way we gain weight, the way we lose weight changes as well. And so people notice that. They say, you know, in my late teens, my early 20s, even in my maybe early 30s, I could eat just about whatever I wanted and I felt great and, you know, I could do whatever. You start to get that mid 30s to the 40 range, especially for men and a little later for women. Hormones change at that time and the weight comes off differently, and you're going to exercise just like you used to, and it's just not going to have the same effect. And so it really comes down to what you're putting into your body and not what's the output is.
You talk about breaking your back and back pain and knee pain. I mean, that was the thing that so many of our listeners have shared with me, was they heard about your program. They heard about Billings Last Diet, and they did it for themselves. And I'll ask them, well, what did you notice? Does it feel different? And they'll say, my knees don't hurt anymore. Well, you think about it. If you got, you know, bad knees or whatever, and you throw, you know, a 90-pound rucksack on your back and carry that around all day, every day, yeah, you'd be hurting too. So then imagine if you take that 90-pound rucksack off your back. And that's what, you know, Richard and Bozeman told me happened for him. And he now goes on walks with his wife, right? Because his knees don't hurt. And, you know, Tim in Savage, 90 pounds. And then even for me, I mean, when I took off that 33 pounds through Billings Last Diet, it was literally like taking my body armor loaded with ammo and a pistol hanging off the front of the body armor. I mean, that's what it was like taking off, was taking off your body armor and all that ammo at the end of a mission.
Well, and not everybody can relate to throwing a 90-pound rucksack on, but when we have people lose, you know, 15, 20 pounds, we have a weighted vest in office that we invite them to put on, and it's just 15, 20 pounds, and maybe a 30-pound as well. And they start walking around, and they don't realize how much weight 30 pounds really is. I mean, your joints, they've slowly added that weight on, and they're hurting, and you don't know why. You take those 30 pounds off, and you'll realize the difference, absolutely. And that 30 pounds, you know, if you're wanting to lose that 30 pounds before summer, you've got a good 12 weeks before then. And with Billings Last Diet, women were losing 2 or 3 pounds per week. Men, 3, 4, even 5 pounds per week. So you do the math and see what you want to lose. And we want to get that that summer hiking and being out with your kids more. Now's the time to get started and to start losing that weight so you can enjoy that summer, those summer activities.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, well, you can give them a call if you want to, you know, get signed up. If obviously if you're in the Billings area, you know, you know where to find them. They've got a Heights and a West End location, but that remote option, I'm telling you, so many of our listeners, when I've been, you know, out on the town in Columbia Falls and other places, you know, they'll say, Aaron, wow, man, you've really been staying trim. And I'm like, well, it's Billings last diet. And they're like, man, I wish I could use that program. Well, it's like, well, here you go. The option. Give them a call, 294-6751, or just check out BillingsLastDiet.com. Before we wrap up here, Dr. Jordan, the other thing that I think is really interesting is, you know, you're hearing a lot about Ozempic. I'm Jerry Lear. Any injections and things like that, obviously. And there's worries about long-term impacts of things like Ozempic or these GLP, whatever as you call them. But you guys, but if there are people who are using those types of drugs, those products, the big thing you're going to need is nutrition. When you're on those programs, I think that's where people are really getting into trouble right now is that, okay, yeah, they don't have the appetite from the drug, but you still need to get the ideal amount of protein. You need to get your nutritional sources in. And that's where Billings Last Diet's really been effective, even with people that are using those GLP, drugs, et cetera, right?
No, absolutely. The GLP-1s, the semaglutides, the concern is not just that you're losing weight, but what type of weight you're losing. We want to make sure you're losing fat. And so we do have protocol specific for those who are on the GLP-1s, the semi-glutides, to make sure that they are getting the nutrition they need. So when you are losing weight, it's fat that you're losing and not muscle, because we all know that when you start losing that muscle, it messes with, your basal metabolic rate. You start losing calories. You start to burn calories that you don't want. You want to keep that muscle on so that you can maintain a good, healthy composition.
All right. Well, Dr. Jordan, greatly appreciate your time. Thanks for holding down the fort back there in our Montana Talk studios, and to our producer, Caden, for lining everything up. Appreciate your time. Thanks for being with us. We're back here in Great Falls at the Heritage Inn. We've got Cascade County Sheriff Jesse Slaughter back here with us. Yeah, Sheriff, you stayed trim. You've stayed fit to fight. That can be hard to do in law enforcement, especially because, you know, you got meetings, you're the sheriff, so you got to do a lot of paperwork, and then you're in your patrol car a lot. So how do you stay trim? I mean, it's not just exercise, it's nutrition and everything, you know?
So the key, well, I think Dr. Jordan probably explained it better than I could, but the thing I do is I try to eat, for every pound I weigh, I eat a gram of protein for my ideal weight. I'm trying to cut some weight this summer, you know? I want to look better when I put on my swimming trunks and all that stuff, but that's my goal. And then I don't do anything but strength training, and I have a very rigorous full body workout, and that's all I ever do. I always do full body workouts. Yeah,
that's kind of where I'm in now too. Because, well, hey, I got a bad back, so I can't just go for a 5 mile run like I maybe used to be able to do.
Well, cardio didn't do anything for me, but make me flabby.
It didn't. That's what I've heard from a lot of people. Yeah, a lot of people do a lot of cardio, and they wonder why they don't.
No, I mean, I'll walk, I'll do some stuff like that, but what I focus really, really hard on is my strength and my conditioning with weights, and then the fat just falls off.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. And of course, nutrition's been key for me. Hold that thought. More with Cascade County Sheriff Slaughter right after this.
The truth and nothing but. This is the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
The Biden administration funding transgender experiments on animals intended to improve so-called gender-affirming care for humans is now officially coming to an early end thanks to Doge and Elon Musk shining a light on this gruesome research. Congressman Eli Crane told JustTheNews.com last month that the House Oversight Committee documented $241 million in taxpayer funding for transgender surgery and treatments on animals. Many of the figures cited at a recent hearing on federally funded animal cruelty came from the White Coat Waste Project, which documented $10 million spent on transgender rodent and monkey experiments.
Keeping you on the straight path. Later today, it's the Sean Hannity Show.
Artificial intelligence, AI, it's all you hear about. But how far away is it? And what are the potential threats from AI that could totally upend the way Americans live their lives? What will it do to the job market? What will the unemployment rate be? What does it mean for data privacy or cybersecurity? How about the banking system or national security? The ECB has already warned about a bubble in AI stocks. Could this spread to other sectors? If you have $50,000 or more saved for retirement, this may not be the time to wait and find out. Learn how you could help protect your life savings using precious metals like gold and silver. Right now, you can get a free gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. On top of that, you could get up to a 10% instant match in bonus silver with a qualified account. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD. One more time, visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD.
Fox rocks.
Michelle Pulino. She's beautiful. Miley Cyrus announced a new album, Something Beautiful, arrives May 30th, giving fans 13 new tracks to explore all summer long. Cyrus unveiled the album cover on Instagram Monday with a close-up of the singer in a 1997 Crystal Thierry Mugler headpiece, according to Cyrus. The artwork is a striking nod to the album's bold aesthetic and visual storytelling. The announcement follows a week of teasers featuring black and white posters displaying her silhouettes in the iconic Mugler design, which also became her social media profile image. Something Beautiful is Cyrus's first album since her 2023 hit Endless Summer Vacation, which peaked at number 3 on the Billboard 200. Guns N' Roses drummer Frank Ferrer has exited the band after a nearly 19-year run. Longtime Duff McKagan collaborator Isaac Carpenter will fill the drum stool when the group returns to the live stage for an international tour beginning May 1st. That's Fox Rocks on Fox News.
This is where Montana talks. Montana Talks with Aaron Friend.
All right, let's go. Yeah, I was having a little trouble hearing the bumper music there here on our feed from the studio, but that's all right as long as they can hear us and we're going out over the radio air. The important part of here is we're testing some new audio equipment out here. Sheriff, you've had that. So, well, you got your own podcast, the Pursuit Podcast, which is a great podcast. In fact, now Senator Sheehy was your first interview, I think.
Yeah, he was.
I got to sit down with you and enjoy a nice little beverage.
It was great. We had a good.
Yeah, that was fun. Hey, earlier we were talking about, we were talking a little bit about the cartels. And then now we just saw the Havre, Montana Border Patrol sector announce the arrest of a U.S. citizen who was aiding in the smuggling of 3 Prende Aragua operatives, illegal aliens. And so what are you seeing from your perch here in Cascade County? Are you seeing a lot of interactions with illegal aliens? Obviously, ICE is now allowed to do their jobs. The Border Patrol is allowed to do their jobs. So the same suspect a year ago might have gotten put back out on the streets by the Biden ICE. Now they're getting deported very quickly from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, God bless that, too, because the jails across America don't have the capacity. So the Trump administration is stepping up, doing the right thing and not overburdening local law enforcement. They're really trying to say, hey, we want to work with you, we want to protect you. And they're coming up with really innovative solutions not to fill our jails. And create a bunch of problems with us. You know, this American citizen assisting cartels, this isn't going away. Again, I'll go back to what I said in the earlier segment. They're playing a long game. We play too many short games. They have been, investing, manipulating, paying, doing whatever they can to get resources, you know, basically operatives inside the United States for years. And this is everybody. This is doctors. This is lawyers. This is gun dealers. This is you name it. They've been working on these people to become operatives for them.
College professors.
Yeah, all those people.
Moss nonsense at Columbia and elsewhere.
Yeah, and it's not hard for them when the media focuses on those, you know, pro-terrorism, pro-Hamas protesters. The media highlights them. And the cartel is smart. The cartel sees those people and they go, okay, those are people we can recruit. And they have, you know, they're American citizens. They have all the rights given to them by the United States Constitution, which makes them a harder target. And they're infiltrating. Here's the other thing people need to. The cartel has been coming across the border for years, having relationships with people and having children. Oh, yeah. And their child is now a naturally born U.S. citizen who is sympathetic to the cartel.
Because of the way we have mischaracterized birthright citizenship. It was never intended for a non-citizen to come to this country, give birth, and now that, but it got twisted over the years from what the original intent was.
Well, here's a problem with most people with their apathy towards this issue and don't understand what's going on is that they have endless funds, and their funds are totally they're cash. You know, they're not subject to taxes. They're not anything. Influence a lot of people. And here's the thing: their game is really simple. They tell you you're going to work for them, and they offer you a large sum of money. You say no, they're just going to kill you or someone in your family. So what choice do you have? And this is what we've let in the door. And we have to wake up and realize that it's way more complex than we. And there are a lot of people who might be our friends caught in this. I relate it to exactly like sex trafficking, right? You influence a young woman into sex trafficking. You're telling her she's going to make a bunch of money. But you're also telling her she doesn't have any choice or she's going to be raped or murdered. You know, and this is what's really happening, the real issue. And so I think this is going to be right now, I think the problem looks simpler because they're catching all the low-hanging. It's going to get complex when we start going into the underground and we start really digging through this. And we're going to have a lot of issues because of it. It's going to get, this problem is going to get very complex because it was so horribly managed for so many.
Yeah, I mentioned Joe Briggs at Caterpillar dinner last night up at the airport. He was telling me the sheriff now has some new technologies, some new TTPs, tactics to prevent suicides from jail inmates. So we'll start there coming up in the 9 o'clock hour. Back right after this.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
If we could somehow put climate crusades and all politics on pause, the problem how best to generate electricity could be appreciated as an endlessly fascinating one. Solar power is really quite amazing in many ways. It's simple and it's cheap. It's grown faster from its birth than any other energy source ever. More than 50% of all its new generation projects that apply to be connected to the national grid involve solar power. It's also pretty tiny, at least so far. With no fuel costs, no moving parts, its operating costs are very low. And with continued steep reductions in costs for solar cells, building costs are heading down as well. Its fatal flaw, of course, is it's not available on demand. Production of electricity from the sun, even on cloudless days, doesn't line up well with when power is needed, especially in the winter. But it's becoming so fantastically cheap, could we not, say, drastically overbuild what we need and still come out ahead on costs? That won't work at night. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.